Tonight we're going to look at Colossians chapter 1, verses 13 through 20. I'll move through it as quickly as I can. I will tell you this. I want to read all verses 13 through 20, but I will not preach all of them tonight. We will be back in this chapter tomorrow night, Lord willing. That is, if the Lord tarries, if He doesn't come between now and then we'll be right back in Colossians chapter 1. Tonight, I want to look at verses 13 and 14 only. We'll preach those verses, but I would love to read the entire paragraph tonight to you. Let's begin in verse 13 and read down through verse number 20 of the book of Colossians. Are you there? Say amen.
Amen.
Amen. Let's begin in verse 13. Thank you so much. Who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son, in whom we have redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of sins. Who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. For by Him were all... There's things. We talked about that last night. For by Him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth. Do you believe that?
Yes, sir.
Amen. I do too. Visible and invisible. Whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by Him and for Him. And He is before all things, and by Him all things consist. And He is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things He might have the, I love this word, preeminence.
Yes, sir.
For it pleased the Father that in Him, in whom, preacher? In God the Son, in Christ Jesus. For it pleased the Father that in Him should all fullness dwell. And having made peace through the blood of His cross, by Him to reconcile all things unto Himself. By Him I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven. I truly believe that before I get in to these verses, and we will be back here, Lord willing, if we're still alive, we'll be back here tomorrow night, and we might be here Wednesday night. I don't know yet. But I want to say in the verses that I just read to you, about 8 verses I guess I read to you, it's power packed. And let me tell you what it's about. It's all about Jesus.
Amen.
It's all about Jesus. Amen. We're going to look at verses 13 and 14 in just a moment. But I want to tell you this, that Paul, in his writing to Colossae, he gives 4 attributes of Christ Jesus that I have just read to you in those power-packed verses from verse number 13 all the way to verse number 20. I guess you could say this, Paul was telling Colossae, I'm glad I know who Jesus is.
Amen.
I guess if there's something that I'd say that I'd want you to remember, and I thought of that chorus, I'm glad I know who Jesus is. He's more than just a story. He is the King of glory. I'm glad I know who Jesus is.
Yes.
Paul gives 4 attributes. That's the only word I can think of Christ Jesus in those 8 verses. You and I are only going to look at one of those things tonight, and it's included in verse 13 and verse 14 of chapter 1 of Colossians. Are you with me? Raise your hand. All right, good. I've got all of you so far. Good. Hallelujah. Yeah, I believe you need to know some background of Colossae. You need to know just a little bit about why did Paul write this letter. If you go to the, and you don't have to turn there, I'll just tell you about it. Just look up here and listen to me and I'll tell you. But if you go to the maps in your Bible and you look at the Aegean Sea, you look at that and you see all those cities on the edge of the Aegean Sea, you'll find Ephesus. We know about Ephesus, the letter to Ephesians. We know about that. We know about Paul's trips to Ephesus in the book of Acts. Acts 18, Acts 19, Acts 20. Paul visited Ephesus. Paul did some great preaching in Ephesus. when he was in Ephesus. Not only Ephesus had revival when he was in Ephesus, but all of Asia had revival when he was in Ephesus. Do you believe what I just told you? Let me give you a verse then. Acts 19:10, on Paul's second missionary journey to Ephesus. The first time he went to Ephesus was in Acts 18 with Aquila and Priscilla. The second time he went to Ephesus was in Acts chapter 19. The last time he visited Ephesus, he did not go into Ephesus, but he went to a place nearby called Miletus, and he called for the Ephesian elders to come to him because he had something that he wanted to say to them. But in Acts 19, on his second trip to Ephesus, verse 10 of Acts 19 will tell you that when Paul went there, for 2 years he preached, and all of Asia heard the gospel. Out of Ephesus, Paul never visited Colossae. If you come from that, Ephesus is on the Aegean Sea. If you come from Ephesus and go east, you're about 100 miles from Ephesus, you'll find a little place called Colossae. If you look in your Bible, if you still got it open, in Colossians chapter 2, verse number 1, the Bible says there are many in Colossae that have not seen my face. Do you see it? Say amen.
Amen.
Do you see your Bible? All right. So he never visited Colossae. He didn't go there like he did at Ephesus or Thessalonica. But you say, well, preacher, how is Colossians known? It's known by the church that was started there. Well, how was the church started there? It must have sprang off of what was going on down at Ephesus. Can I tell you something? I believe we ought to have a mindset as the people of God, because you know as well as I do, there's only one Lord, there's only one shepherd, there's only one body of Christ. We're not little pods. We're one body of Christ linked together. I believe I ought to be praying, God help Pleasant Hill to be a blessing to the churches up the road and a blessing to the churches down the road. I believe we're in this together. I believe when one of us have revival, it ought to help somebody else. Are you with me?
Yes, sir. I agree.
All right, so that church, it is believed by the theologians, Paul never visited that place, but that church sprang off of what was going on down in Ephesus. You say, preacher, I still don't understand. All right? When Paul was preaching there at Ephesus and the word went all over Asia, it's very important. Two men are mentioned in your Bible that's very important in having to do with the church at Colossae. Now, I ain't even got to verse 13, have I? I promise I'm going to go in there in just a minute. But you need to know the background of Colossians. You need to know the background of Colossae. Let me give you two men. Verse 7 of chapter 1 of Colossae, do you see a man there by the name of Epaphras, do you see him mentioned in Colossians chapter 1 verse, talk to me now, all right?
Yes.
Colossians chapter number 1 verse number 7, I see Epaphras, all right? Epaphras would have been one that would have been saved, probably from Colossae, saved during what was going on in Acts 19 down at Ephesus, but there's somebody else that was saved during that has very much significance. Now, I've got to take you to another book of the Bible. Don't turn there, but just listen to what I'm going to tell you. There's a book in your Bible of about 25 verses that's located in the New Testament, and that book is Philemon. Now, anybody ever read Philemon?
Yes.
Philemon has something to do with Colossae. He's from Colossae. Can I tell you, if you read Philemon, then you also need to read Colossians, because Philemon and Colossians goes right together. Let me tell you about Philemon. The church meets down at Philemon's house. I guess before they could get him a building built, Philemon said, just come on down to my house. I got saved by the marvelous grace of God. That revival was going on down at Ephesus. Hey, I'm thankful for revivals 100 miles away that people hear about and
yes.
Say something's going on. Hey, I want people to know we're not wasting our time. That we have, it's alive and it's real.
Hallelujah. Yes, sir. Hey.
Epaphras, very important in our story tonight. Philemon, all right? Preacher, why'd you tell us about those two men? Those two men have something to do with why Paul wrote the letter to Colossae. Now, Paul's not been in Colossae. I heard one theologian say that this letter could have been written around AD 60. Paul, right now, in this, he's sending this letter. Let me tell you this, he didn't even carry this letter to the Colossians.
That's right.
Are you listening to me?
That's
he's
right.
up at Rome, Brother Gary. He's up at Rome. And one day, he ain't even wrote a letter yet. He ain't even wrote, he hasn't even, oh, I'm getting ahead of myself. He's not even wrote Philemon yet by the Holy Ghost, because we know the Holy Ghost wrote the book. It's
right.
not private interpretation. Paul just held the pen, the Holy Ghost wrote it. Somebody amen that?
Amen.
All right, so he ain't wrote Philemon yet. He hasn't even penned Colossians yet. But one day, he's sitting up at Rome, and in walks a runaway slave.
Yes, sir.
And the runaway yes. slave says, nice to meet you, Paul. My name is Onesimus. My name is Onesimus. What's so important about Onesimus? If you have read Philemon, you'll know that Onesimus was Philemon's runaway slave, that when he fled from Philemon's house in Colossae, he ended up in Rome, and through the providence of God and the provision of God, God brought him to a preacher. Here's a... Oh, thankful for old time conviction. When
yes.
you try to run from God, you run into God. Anybody with me on that?
Yes.
So when he left Colossae and ran away from Philemon's house, he ended up in Rome. Paul's a prisoner. Paul preached to him. He gets saved and he wants to go back to Philemon's house.
Hey.
Tell Philemon he got saved. Yeah. That's a good sign of somebody getting saved.
Yes, sir.
All right, so Paul begins to pen a letter. Paul's penning the letter. All 25 verses are penned to Philemon. You've read it. As he's penning the letter, I heard one man say today that I was studying behind. He said, I can almost see as Paul is penning the letter, in walks Epaphras. Mm-hmm. In walks Epaphras. Oh, stay with me for just a minute. Epaphras has come from where? He's come from Colossae. He walks in. There stands Onesimus. Paul's bound. But he's a pen and a letter. He tells Philemon in the book of Philemon. I know I'm all over the Bible right now. But we're coming around. And it's going to be fun when we get there. All right? He's a pen and that letter. And he says something like this. Paul, he said, I want you to... I'm talking about Epaphras. He said, Paul, Colossae's in a mess.
Mm-hmm.
Colossae's in a mess. There's stuff creeping in. Thank God for Epaphras. That he didn't let it continue to go on.
Yes, sir.
I want to say this. Don't you let things creep in here that ought not be in here.
That's right.
Even if what's trying to creep in is very close to your heart and very dear to your heart, you stand up. If it's mama, if mama's wrong, you stand against mama. You say, mama, I love you, but I love Jesus.
Amen.
And I'm going to stand what the Bible said. He walked in, Epaphras said, stuff going on at Colossae ought not be going on. You say, preacher, what was going on at Colossae? All right? We've already read in the scripture, we know who created all things. Mm-hmm. Would you agree with me?
Yes.
That the last part of Genesis 1:31 says, when God got it all created, he stepped back and he said, it is good. Do you believe that?
Yes, sir.
All right, those that was creeping in at Colossae that was trying to cause trouble, they were considered Jewish legalists. They were trying to bring the law. Oh, we know that Paul's preaching grace. They're trying to bring the works of the law. They was trying to tell them they needed to be circumcised. But they were also, Brother Andy, bringing in Eastern philosophy.
Yes, sir.
And they were saying things like this. God couldn't have created all this. Are you listening to me? That's what they were saying. You said that. God couldn't have created all this. Now, you know as well as I do why there's a curse on the earth right now.
Amen.
And by the way, you might not believe me, the earth knows she's cursed,
Amen.
But she knows her redemption is on the way.
Amen. Hallelujah.
I made reference to it last night, and I'd love to preach it right now, but Jesus won't let me. But if you go to Romans 8 and you read verses 19 through 21 or 22, you'll read that just as a creature is waiting on the redemption of the body, I'm glad creation is a moaning and a groaning.
Yes.
I hear that Toe River out there in front of Pleasant Hill Baptist Church laugh a little bit, and I believe she's saying, come on, Jesus.
Yes.
I hear that little bird is squawking in the trees, and I believe that little cardinal saying, come on, Jesus.
Yes, sir.
I hear them little birds
birds are chirping, them little squirrels are chirping, and I believe they're saying, even so, come Lord Jesus.
Yes.
I believe when them leaves are waving in the wind, I believe they're saying, come on Jesus.
Yes.
Come on Jesus. Those people at Colossae, those Jewish legalists, oh, those Eastern philosophers are saying this. They're saying, all of this is evil. God couldn't have made this. There's no way. There's no way. And they were saying this. And by God not creating all this, they were very tricky with what they did. They didn't deny that there was a God, but they said, surely he wouldn't have any contact with such a world
right.
as this. And you listen closely to what Preacher Allen's going to tell you right now. We're living in that day to where people don't have a problem talking about God, but they do have a problem talking about Jesus.
You're right.
But can I tell you, they're one and the same.
Yes.
Amen.
That's right.
They were denying the very incarnation of Christ. Oh, I got to give you a verse. 1 Timothy 3:16. And without controversy, without debate, without us arguing over it, without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. Preacher, tell me about the mystery of godliness. Here's the first line of it. Won't preach it. Just going to quote it. I'd like to hear an amen. God was manifest in the flesh.
Hey, yes, sir.
Hey. I believe that.
Yes, sir.
I believe Galatians 4:4. When the fullness of time was come, God sent forth His Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law. I believe that the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us,
Amen.
And we beheld His glory as of the only begotten, and thank God He's full of grace and truth.
Yes, sir.
Listen to me, young people. I know who Jesus is.
Yes, sir.
I know who Jesus is. He's the manifestation of God.
Yes, sir.
Hebrews 1:3. Mm-hmm. He is the expressed image of God.
Yes, sir.
He is, Hebrews 1:3, He's the brightness of His glory.
Yes, sir.
You young people, listen to me real quick. Let me give you this example in dealing with Jesus being God. See, God the Father, and God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost, they're all one. You say, preacher, I don't understand. All right? Take the sun, for instance. And you have the rays of the sun. Can you separate the rays of the sun from the sun and they still be what they are? Absolutely not. I'm glad God the Father, God the Son, and God the Spirit are one. Just as you cannot separate the rays of the sun from the very sun, you cannot separate God the Father from God the Son and God the Holy Ghost. God the Father sits in heaven. God the Son is that which was manifested to the world, but now He's back in heaven. You say, preacher, how do you know? The Bible says there's one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. And thank God now that God the Son is gone. He has sent God the Holy Spirit, and I know He's here because He's living in my soul. Hallelujah.
Yes, sir. Amen.
Those legalists, those Eastern philosophers were saying, no way, no way, with all this evil, that God would have anything to do with us. Oh, no way. I want to say this, you listen closely. There's something different about when we talk about the man Christ Jesus. By the way, He's still the man Christ Jesus.
Yes.
There was a day He wasn't a man. Mm-hmm. Numbers 23:19. Numbers 23:19 in the Old Testament. Make sure you keep truth in its proper place. During the Old Testament, you are in the legal dispensation. And Moses said, He is not a man. Job 9:32, Job said, He is not a man as I am. But when we get to the New Testament, Paul the Apostle said, I got good news. He's a man now.
Amen.
Are you in me?
Amen.
Where'd He come from? He did exactly what Isaiah wrote down. Behold, a virgin shall conceive.
Yes.
That's why you might not like this, but that's why I carry a King James Bible, for it to change that virgin and put a young woman in the book of Isaiah changes everything. A young woman means he was born with a sin nature like I was. But I got news for you. He wasn't conceived the way I was. He was conceived by the Holy Ghost.
Yes.
Which means Jesus came, yes, clothed in flesh, but he didn't have a sin nature. He was all God, and when he put on flesh, he was all man, that he might taste all the things that you and I would ever go through.
Yes.
So that he could be a faithful high priest and say, come unto me, all ye that labor heavy laden, I'll give you rest. Come unto me. You have a high priest which can be touched with the feelings of your infirmities, because I was in all points tempted like as you are.
Yes,
yet
thank
without
you, Lord.
Sin. You say, preacher, you believe he could not sin. I absolutely believe that. He could not sin. He's all God. But he clothed himself in flesh because death had been pronounced upon flesh. And he had to taste death for every man. And I'm already getting ahead of myself in my message. But I'm telling you, they would not accept the fact that Jesus had come. Listen closely. In Colossians 1:18, do you see the word preeminence?
Yes, sir.
The word preeminence, it means the first. Oh, but it doesn't mean the first. They looked. It doesn't mean the first to say that. And there's a lot that believe this out in the world today. When I say that he might have, Christ might have the preeminence, when we talk about him being firstborn of every creature, Jesus is not God's first created being.
That's right.
Amen.
Amen. You're right.
Jesus is not a created being.
Amen.
Does he exist, preacher? Absolutely he does.
Yes.
But he didn't have to be born in Bethlehem to exist. He in eternity past, in eternity future, he is the great I am.
Yes, sir. Amen.
Does that make any sense?
Hallelujah. Yes, sir.
I see that word preeminent. He is the first. He is eternal. Nothing before him. He always has been. He always will be. And by the way, my God never has been a has-been. He's always in eternity past and eternity future. He will continue to be the great I am.
Yes, sir. Amen.
Here's what they said about Jesus. He's prominent, but he's not preeminent.
Mm-hmm.
I want to say, yes, my Lord is prominent.
Yes.
Prominent means important. But he's more than prominent.
Amen.
He is preeminent.
Yes.
And in all things, he must have the preeminence.
Yes.
So Paul said, just to convince you all, because listen, when Epaphras, are you still with me about Epaphras? What's Paul doing? He's over here with Onesimus. He's writing a letter to Philemon. He's going to hand that letter to Philemon. And Philemon's going to carry it down the road. Or Onesimus is going to carry it down the road to Philemon's house. Philemon, or Onesimus, is getting ready to head to Colossae. But before he does, Epaphras comes in and says, Paul, I would. Then, I don't know if this is what he said, but I kind of reckon that he did. He said something like this. He said, Paul, would you write a letter to Colossae and tell them who Jesus is?
Yes, sir.
Did you get what I just said? And I believe I hear Paul. I hear the Holy Ghost whisper in Paul's ear and say, Paul, get your pen ready. Aren't you glad you know who Jesus is?
Amen.
And begin to write her down. In this first chapter. Now, here's what's going to happen. In this first chapter, in these 8 verses I've just read, Paul's going to give 4 attributes and say, let me tell you who Jesus is. You and I are going to talk about the first one tonight, because the first one's got 4 points to it. The first one tonight is, Jesus is the Savior.
Amen.
What a place to start, Brother Andy.
Yes,
Jesus, you believe that?
Yes, sir.
I believe Jesus is the Good Shepherd. I believe Jesus is the vine. I believe Jesus is the door. I believe he was a feature of that door that's putting blood on down there in Egypt.
Yes,
they come out of the land of Egypt. I'm telling you, I believe he is the way, the truth, the life, and no man comes. comes to the Father but by Him.
You're right.
And never forsake it. Paul, would you write them a letter and tell them who Jesus is?
Yes.
Paul said, I'd be glad to. And the Holy Ghost spoke it, and Paul jotted it down. Epaphras will stay with Paul at Rome. I want you to know that. Paul will hand both. I hope it's all right to use clean.
Go ahead.
Paul will hand both letters. Listen, Colossians 4:17, I believe it is. You have to check me. Speaks of Titus. I believe it does. You will, if you study it out, you'll study that Onesimus at the end of Philemon. You'll have to turn there and check. I can't remember if Onesimus is mentioned in Colossians 4:17, but I believe Titus is. Titus and Onesimus will carry these two letters. They're carrying Philemon and Colossians, and they're leaving Rome, and they're headed to Colossae. And that's where we get the book of Colossians. If you're still with me, say amen.
Amen.
All right. What is Paul? And oh, we're just scratching the surface. We're only in the first chapter of Colossians. Don't that excite you?
Amen.
I hope you'll come back tomorrow night then. All right. All right. So we're heading down the road. Oh, Philemon is going to be told about a man getting saved. Philemon is going to be told. Oh, Philemon, I want you to know that Onesimus was an unprofitable servant. He probably even robbed from you when he's up at your house. But guess what? The same God that saved you saved him.
Amen.
Aren't you glad God's still saving old sinners like that brother sang last night?
Yes, sir.
And then in this hand I see Titus, and he's carrying the book of Colossians. And I can hear Onesimus and Titus both say, I sure am glad I know who Jesus is.
Amen.
And they get down there to Colossians. Colossae. And they give them the two letters. Now let's do this. Let's look at chapter 1, verse 13 and verse 14. There's four things about this Savior that I'd like for you to know. There's four things. Might be somebody here tonight that doesn't know who Jesus is, preacher.
That's right.
Be a wonderful night tonight to know Him in the free pardon of sin.
Amen.
I'm so glad I know Jesus.
Amen.
But best of all, I'm glad He knows me.
Amen.
I'm glad one day after a while, He's not going to look at me and say, depart from me, for I never knew you. I'm glad He's going to say, Jesse, this is what I want to hear Him say. Well done, son, you did a good job. I know I'm going to heaven. Listen to me. Don't misinterpret what I just said. I'm as sure I'm going to heaven as I know my name's out.
Amen.
Amen.
Nobody can get me out of the hand of God, not even the devil himself. I know I'm going to heaven. I know my name is written there. I'm for sure of that. But I want Him to say this of my service.
Yes.
Because at the judgment seat of Christ, we won't be judged over sin. We've already dealt with sin when we got saved.
That's right.
We'll be judged for our service.
Yes, sir.
And I want to hear Him say, boy, you did a good job.
Amen. That's right.
Amen. Let me put it this way, Danny.
God,
I want my daddy to be proud of me.
Amen.
I want my daddy to be proud of me. Oh, so there's four things that Paul's going to tell us. Four things about Jesus is the Savior. Oh, I'm so glad I know who Jesus is. Let's start in verse number. Let me say this. You agree with me? Every man needs a Savior.
Yes, sir.
Every man needs a Savior. Isaiah 53:6, all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. But the Lord hath laid on him at that place called Calvary the iniquity of us all. The wages of sin is death, but thank God the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen.
Oh, Isaiah said in Isaiah 64:6, he said we were all as an unclean thing and our righteousness is as filthy rags. Do you agree with me? Everybody needs a Savior.
That's right.
There's only one. And His name is Jesus.
That's right.
His name is Jesus. I want to tell you these four things and then we'll go through them. Two of them are in verse 13. Two of them are in verse 14. I hope you're still with me. I see that He is a Savior that delivers. Do you see it in verse 13? He is a Savior that translates. Do you see that in verse 13? He is a Savior that redeems. Do you see that in verse 14?
Yes, sir.
And do you see that He's a Savior that forgives?
Amen.
So I got four things. Jesus is the Savior. Amen. I'm glad when I talk about my Jesus, I use is.
Yes,
Hebrews
sir.
11:6 says, can I park just a minute? I'll come.
Go ahead.
I promise. Hebrews 11:6 says, for he that cometh to God must believe he is. David, tell me about your shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. That little Shunammite girl down there in the Song of Solomon, what is your beloved more than another? My beloved is wide and rooty, and he is the chiefest among 10,000. Moses came across the Red Sea, and they're playing that timbrel, and they're singing to the top of their lungs. And Moses says, he's giving me a song. And Miriam and Aaron say, won't you go ahead and sing it? And in the book of Genesis chapter 15, here's how he begins his song. He is my strength and my song.
Hey.
Aren't you glad when we talk about our Lord, we say He is?
Amen.
You go to that garden tomb if you want to, you won't find Him there.
That's
because
right.
My God is very much alive and well.
Amen.
He's not the old man upstairs. He's not one leaning on a cane. He doesn't have a long white beard. He's not biting his fingernails. But He is tonight is just as much the Almighty as He ever has been.
That's right. Amen.
He is the great I Am. Let's look at verse 13. Let's look at verse 13 of how the verse begins. I haven't even read the scripture yet. Verse 13, let's read it. Who hath delivered us, I'll read this verse and we'll take it apart. Who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son. Let's start right there. Who hath delivered us from the power of darkness. Who hath delivered us from the power of darkness. Listen. Hath delivered. I want to give you that Greek word. Those two words, hath delivered, make one Greek word. It is the Greek word ruoma. Ruoma. It means to rescue. It means to rescue. What did Jesus do when He saved me? You agree with me? He rescued me.
Yes, sir.
He rescued me. Listen, listen. In 2 Corinthians, you don't have to turn here. In 2 Corinthians chapter number 1, verse number 10, here's what Paul says about when we got saved. Who delivered us from so great a death. And doth deliver, in whom we trust that He will yet deliver us. Listen to this. Here's how powerful God's delivering is. He has delivered me. He is delivering me. And one day He will deliver me.
Yes, sir. Amen.
You believe that?
Amen.
That's what 2 Corinthians 1:10 tells me. He has delivered me. Preacher, what has the Lord delivered? What has the Lord rescued you from? The penalty of sin. I'm not going to hell.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Thought I'd get more amens on that preacher. I'm not going to hell.
Amen.
I am saved. That means I am sealed. How long am I sealed? I'm sealed until the day of redemption.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Yes. A letter stays sealed till it gets to its destination. I'm sealed until the day of the Lord. He's coming to get me. I know I'm going to hear the trumpet sound. I know I'm going to see the dead rise first. I know we which are alive and remain shall be changed in a moment, in a twinkle of an eye. We're going to be called up to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord.
Amen.
I'm going to be delivered.
Yes, sir.
I have been delivered. Right?
Amen.
I'm going to be delivered. Jesus is a coming. I am being delivered.
That's right.
You know, the Lord wants you to be steadfast and unmovable and always abounding in the work of the Lord. But the Lord tells you through the mouth of Paul in Romans chapter 7 that you still live in the flesh. And the flesh wants to sin. The flesh wants to do those things that are opposite of the things of God. But I got good news. If you're saved, you know the deliverer.
That's right. Amen.
You know the one who has delivered you. You know the one that is going to deliver you. But thank God, if you're having a problem with sin tonight, Christian, all you got to do is get on this altar and say, thank God I know the deliverer. And if he had enough power to deliver me when I got saved, if he's going to have enough power to deliver me at the rapture, thank God he's got enough power to rescue me now.
Amen. Yes, sir.
Do you understand what I just said?
Yes, sir.
Thank God. I'll tell you what he's rescued us from. You believe there's a great tribulation coming?
Yes, sir.
But the book of Thessalonians tells me twice. Twice!
Yes, sir.
1 Thessalonians 1:10, I believe it is. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 says it again. He's delivered us from the wrath to come.
Amen.
It's going to be 7 years of tribulation on this world for those that are left behind. But not me.
Amen.
I'm going to be rescued.
Amen.
Amen.
You go to the book of Thessalonians and you read it for yourself and you see if it doesn't say who hath delivered us from the wrath of God.
Amen.
Yes, sir.
Boy, there's a whole lot of this getting saved, isn't it?
Yes, sir. Amen.
I told somebody, I've said it 1,000 times, it plays in hell. I said, if I'd have realized I got all this and I'd have got saved, I don't know if I'd been able to handle it.
That's right. That's right.
Isn't it wonderful to be saved?
Yes, sir.
Aren't you glad you can stand tonight and say, I'm glad I know who Jesus is?
Yes, sir.
Because he's a living in my soul. Hallelujah. All right. What's he delivered me from? I'm supposed to continue with the sentence, right?
Right.
From the power of what? From the power of darkness. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 2 verse 2. Listen. In Ephesians chapter 2 verse 2. It says that Satan is the prince of the power of the air. Do you believe that?
Yes.
Job, in the book of Job, Satan was asked by God, where have you been? I've been in the earth, he said, walking up and down it, to and fro. You know from the Bible that the Bible says that there are powers of darkness of this world. Let me go ahead and say to these young people, there is spirit of light, yes, things of God, angelic beings. They are innumerable, the Bible says in Hebrews 12:22. But there's also angels of darkness.
That's right.
Now, let me say something to the young people, and I'm not trying to scare you, but you better stay away from the darkness.
That's right.
You better not mess with the darkness. Right. Talked with a young lady about maybe 5 months ago. Called me on the phone one night. I think she was drunk and drugged and a whole lot of other stuff all at the same time when I was talking to her. But I tried my best to share with her the things of God, the plan of salvation. And she began to tell me about the darkness that she had tried to mess with.
Mm.
And I told her over the phone. And I tell you, it scared me so. When I got off the phone, I was spiritually drained. My wife will tell you that. And I told that lady over the phone, I said, you better not mess with the darkness. And here's what she said, Preacher Nathan. She said, it's too late, Preacher.
Mm.
It's too late. Mm. If you just don't. I want to say this. God is big enough to deliver you from the powers of the darkness.
Amen.
You better stay away from that darkness. You say them songs and the words they say, they won't hurt me one bit. I'm telling you, if God could open our eyes to the spiritual world and let us see the battle going on, the angels of light and the angels of darkness, he'd scare us absolutely to death. But I got news for you. They that are with us are more than they that be against us.
Amen.
You say, Preacher,
yes.
How do you know that? Got you a verse out of your Bible. If God before us, who can be against us?
Yes,
there are powers of the darkness. You walk through your Bible and you'll see times that it wasn't angels of light speaking, it was angels of the darkness.
Yes, sir.
There was one time, I'll give you this and we'll move on. There was one time in the book of Job, one of the three of Job's friends, his name was Eliphaz. I believe it's in Job 4. Eliphaz had a night, one night, that the darkness presented itself to him. And he said, when it did, I shook. And he said, I trembled. And it was an angel of the darkness. I'm telling you, I believe what I'm telling you, because I believe when the devil got cast out, he drew a third of them angels with him.
Yes, sir.
Are you listening to me? But thank God, I know who's got all power in heaven and in earth. Don't you? You're looking at me big-eyed, but I'm a preaching on. Aren't you glad you know who Jesus is?
Yes, sir.
Aren't you glad, number one, he is the Savior? I'm thankful that the night the devil thought he had me in his clutches, he thought he had me. It's kind of like that old donkey down there. Jesus is going to ride. Jesus sent them boys down there and said, boys, I want you to go down there and tell them that you've got need for that donkey. And if they try to stop you, just say, Master has need of it. I believe when them boys left, they thought, Lord, we might have to get in a fight to get this donkey. But when they went down there and they told them, old boys, the Master has need, they didn't put up an argument. They said, if the Master says so, we got to let him go. You say, preacher, I'm not getting it. The night I got saved, the devil had his clutches on me. But all the Master had to say was, get your cotton picking hands off of him.
Yes,
bless
sir.
God, when he
yes,
said it,
sir.
It wasn't up for debate. He delivered me. He rescued me from the power of darkness.
Yes, sir. Amen. Hallelujah.
I don't know about that cotton picking.
Preach is good.
Verse number 13. All right, he has delivered. Are you seeing what I'm trying to tell you tonight?
Yes.
Don't you believe Colossae needed to hear this?
Amen.
Don't you believe it's good for us to hear it too?
Yes, sir.
That we can be reminded that we're glad we know who Jesus is. But I want to ask you this question. Take yourself back to the night or the morning that you came in and sat in that church house and you didn't know who Jesus was. But thank God there's an old preacher man. Got behind that pulpit, opened up that Word of God, preached it line upon line and precept upon precept, and told you who Jesus was. Here's what I'm saying. You know why I'm so anxious to come to Mount Carmel Baptist Church tonight? Because the message I carry's got a lot of power on it.
Yes.
Bless God, it's more than just words on a page to Colossians. It's a real person sitting in the heavenlies. He is the man Christ Jesus. He is the Savior of this world.
Yes, sir.
And I'm glad I know who Jesus is.
Amen.
All right, let's move on. Verse 13. I'm trying to hurry, Preacher Nathan. I'm not trying to waste time at all. I know it's getting late, but I got to give you this.
Go
I got to get through these two verses. Verse 13. And hath translated, do you see where I'm at? And hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. Hath translated. Hath translated. Listen to it. Here's the Greek word, mathisteme. Mathisteme. It means to remove from one place to another. Mathisteme. Hath translated. Can I see that bottle of water?
George, you want.
Thank you. All right. Mathisteme. Here I was in sin on the Broadway, headed to hell. I'm alienated from God. Paul told the Ephesian church, he said we were aliens of the commonwealth of Israel. Here's what it was, Brother Andy. I was a dog, and I should have went to hell. I was bound for hell. But one night, because somebody had come, and somebody had bled, and somebody had died, and somebody got up, and that somebody's name was Jesus.
Yes.
He sent the power of the Holy Ghost to where I was, because where I was, I could not get to God. But
yes.
When I couldn't get to God, God came to me. He did not drag me. He did not force me. As a lot of people think that's going to happen.
You're right.
I need to park just a minute. The Holy Ghost told me to. We live in a day that Calvinism is growing.
Yes, sir.
Preacher, I don't know what Calvinism is. Calvinism says he died for this and this and this and this and this one, but he didn't die for this one, this one, this one, this one.
You're
That's
right.
A lie.
You're right.
That's a lie. He died for the world.
Amen.
That's right.
Who would have all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth? The book of Ephesians says he has now broken down the middle wall partition. Yeah, he did come for that Jew. But I got news for you. Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it, the gospel, is the power of God unto salvation to all who would believe.
Amen.
To the Jew first, but also to the Greek.
Amen.
The Holy Ghost. Alan, I'd like to come in and be your Savior. I'd like to be your friend. I'd like to be your guide. He took me from, I said, yes, Lord. Not a big prayer. Lord, would you save me? He took me from the darkness to the light.
Yes, sir.
I'm not walking the same road I was.
Yes, sir.
He took me from the broad way to the straight way, to the narrow way. He took me from a child of the devil to a child of the King.
Yes, sir.
He hath translated me. Here's what I'm trying to say. Somebody got their hands on me.
Amen.
And moved me from where I was.
Yes, sir.
And did the same thing for you. The Bible says that now that we're saved, that we're now, John the Revelator tells us in Revelation, we're now kings and priests.
Yes, sir.
Paul tells us in the book of Ephesians that he's now raised us up together and we're already sitting in heavenly places.
That's right.
Oh, I got to go back to here. One day I was sitting in the pit, the horrible pit, the miry clay. Might as well call it what Jonah called the whale. He called it the belly of hell, didn't he?
Yes, he did.
But thank God I ain't sitting in the belly of hell anymore. I'm sitting in a heavenly place.
Yes,
and it's because I've been translated.
Amen.
I have been delivered. I have been moved. Let's go to verse 14. I'm trying to hurry. Verse 14.
Helping us.
In whom? Still talking about Jesus. We have redemption through His blood,
amen,
even the forgiveness of sin. We're going to end up. I've got two more right here. I've got redemption and forgiveness. Let me talk about them quickly. Are you still with me?
Yes, sir.
It ain't 9 o'clock yet, I promise. All right? In whom we have redemption through His blood. Let me talk about that word redemption. Listen to it. Apolutrosis. Apolutrosis. It means a releasing, a liberation, effected by payment of ransom. Here's what it means. If you're going to redeem somebody, you got to pay a price to do it.
Amen. Amen. Go
listen
ahead.
Closely. Salvation's free, but it costs Jesus everything.
Yes, sir.
Oh, it cost Him everything. He was, listen, the chastisement of our peace was laid upon Him. He was made a curse. He was numbered with the transgressors.
That's right.
He was called a criminal. He was lied upon. He was beaten so that Isaiah said His visage was marred more than any man. After they got done beating Him with a cat of nine tails, He didn't even look human.
Right.
Josephus said that if you dealt with a scourging like that, that many times someone's inner organs would be laying at their feet. They'd be sitting or laying or already dead in a pool of blood. That's what Jesus paid. Here's what I like. You know what Calvary was? It was hell on the cross.
That's right.
Now you might not believe that.
Right.
But I've preached it to my church,
amen,
and I believe it.
Yes, sir. Amen.
I believe it. There's so much. If you come, I'll give you a good Bible study. Go home this week and study the cross. Study those 6 hours. Six is the number of a man. I want to say Jesus was there for all mankind.
Amen.
I want to say this. If you go and you take Calvary and you compare it to Luke 16 of the rich man in hell, did the rich man thirst?
Yes.
Father Abraham, would you send Lazarus to dip his finger in water? Cool my tongue, I'm torn. What did Jesus say from that cross? I thirst. Mm-hmm. It was numbered with the transgressors. Is there darkness in hell right now?
Yes.
Outer darkness. Mm-hmm. While Jesus hung, there was darkness, mm-hmm, over all the land. Are those people in hell forsaken by God? Is God hearing any of their prayers? Absolutely not. Was Jesus forsaken on the cross? He was by the Father. How do you know, preacher? There's some of you looking at me big-eyed. My God, why hast Thou forsaken me? I'll give you the verse I love. Pleasant hear. They hear me quoted all the time. Hebrews 2:9 says, He tasted death for every man. Amen. Do you know why I'm not going to hell? Jesus took my hell on the cross. Amen. I accepted in an old-fashioned altar what He did for me. Thank God I've been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb.
Yes, sir. Amen.
Paid in full. Finished at Calvary. Redeemed. Isn't that wonderful?
Amen.
redeemed. Redeemed, in whom we have redemption through His blood. Romans 5:8, listen to it. But God commendeth His love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by His blood, we shall be saved from wrath through Him. We have redemption through His blood. Amen. Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sins. That word, remission, is the same word, forgiveness. Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sins. That word, remission, in the Greek, is the same word as forgiveness. It is the word, aphesis. The first time Jesus used that Greek word was in Matthew 26:28. He's at the Last Supper, preacher. Mm-hmm. He's talking to the disciples. He's broke the bread. In just a few minutes, He'll take a towel, John 13 says. He'll gird Himself and He'll wash the disciples' feet. Right before He does that, He takes the cup. Matthew 26:28. He passes the cup and He says, "This is My blood. This is shed for many for the remission of sin." Remission, forgiveness. Remission, aphesis. Forgiveness that you see in Colossians chapter 1 verse 14 is that word, aphesis. You know what I've got in Jesus? I've got redemption. I've been bought. I've been paid for. It was not with a bull. It was not with a calf. But thank God it was with the darling Son of God. He bought me. He paid for me. I'm not my own. I've been bought with a price. And now my sins are forgiven. They are gone.
Amen.
They are gone. Isn't that wonderful? And here's what Paul says. He says, we have redemption and forgiveness. Stand up here just a minute, preacher. I did this Sunday morning. Pleasant Hill's going to know what I'm getting ready to do. We have, hope you don't mind me doing this. We have is the Greek word echo. Echo. It's a verb. We have what? Redemption. We have what? Forgiveness. We have. It means to have it, to hold it, to cling to it, to possess it. I'll never be without it. We have. That's the Greek word.
Amen.
And I'm never going to be without it. Tomorrow at work,
amen.
I've got redemption. Yes. Next Sunday when I walk in the back of the church, amen. I've got forgiveness. I've got redemption. Amen. I've been translated. I've been delivered. Thank God I'll never be without it.
Yes, sir.
Because there is no Savior like Jesus.
Hey, hallelujah.
Boy, I'm glad Paul wrote this letter under the inspiration of God to go to Colossae and say, I want to tell you who Jesus is. Amen. Let me say something and I'll close down. Alright? In this day and time, we are so worried what people's going to think of us if we mention Jesus. Amen. I'd be safe to say there's some of us sitting in this room right now, we've hesitated to bless our food at times. And young people, I'm talking as much to the older people as I am you. Because a lot of times when we make statements like that, we always tack it on the young people. Amen, preacher, that's good preaching. Go on at least 15 more minutes. Don't be ashamed of who Jesus is.
That's right.
Nobody could save you but Jesus.
Amen. That's right.
Nobody could deliver you but Jesus. Think about where He got you from. Now listen,
that's right.
Listen. Nobody can do that but Jesus.
That's exactly right.
Think about what He's helped you with and what He has rescued you from even in your Christian walk. Nobody can do that but Jesus.
Amen.
Aren't you glad?
Amen.
You know who Jesus is?
Amen.
Now, come back tomorrow night. We're going to begin in verse 15. Lord willing, of Colossians chapter 1. There's three more attributes. I know you're biting at the bits. I'd love to preach it to you right now. And I feel pretty good enough. I think I get at least two out of the three. There's three more from verse 15 to verse 20 that the Lord's going to tell us about who He is.